So let's go into today's sermon. Joshua, this time we're in chapter 3, just to kind of bring you up to speed of what all's been going on. As Joshua chapter 1 continues on, there's a time of preparation that is going on. There's a three-day period of time in which all of the children of Israel are to prepare themselves because they're going to cross over the Jordan River. And as they get ready to cross over the Jordan River, Joshua sends some spies into Jericho. I've got too many J's going on in my mind right now. And Joshua sends the spies into Jericho to spy it out. So in chapter 2, the spies have gone in and they've spied out Jericho. And what they found out is that all of the people that are their enemies in the Promised Land, they are afraid of them. They've heard about all the great exploits, about how God delivered them from forces that were greater than them in the wilderness. They've heard about how God dried up the Red Sea and they were able to walk across on dry ground. And they understood that the hearts of the people, this is one of the things that I love about the language, the heart of the people had melted when they heard how great that God was. The heart of the people had melted, so they were afraid because they didn't worship our God. And then you have Rahab, who has protected these spies and taken them in and told the officials when they came to try and arrest them, no, they're not here, took care of them, helped them escape the whole nine yards. And she says, the only thing that I ask is that you spare my family. Spare my family. Because I've done this good thing for you, spare my family. Now, it's interesting. Rahab, the scripture tells us that the term that she was referred to as was a harlot. She was referred to in the biblical term as a prostitute. Now, I know others say what that really means is she ran an inn. She was an innkeeper, and that may very well be the case. But no matter what, it's interesting because that woman who protected those spies ends up being one of the great, 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 great grandmothers of Jesus Christ. So she protects the spies. The spies come out. They give everybody the word. Everything's great. God is for us. Remember the last time they went in and sent spies into the Promised Land? And they came out and said, we can't handle it. We can't do it. Remember that? These spies, they come out and they say, we can do it. God has caused their hearts to melt. They're afraid of God. And so now Joshua is beginning to give the orders to the people of how that they're going to cross over the Jordan, how that they're going to begin to make their trek toward Jericho, where they're going to come to Jericho, they're going to face walls, they're going to face obstacles, but right now there's something separating them from Jericho, and it's the Jordan River, and the Jordan River right now is at flood stage. The flood walls wouldn't work. It's flooded. And so now these spies have managed to come back over, but you've got over 1 million people that you have to get across a flooded river, and most of them cannot swim. How do you know they cannot swim, Brother Darrell? I know they can't swim because they've been living in a desert wilderness for 40 years. Most of them cannot swim. Are you with me this morning? Joshua chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. Come here and hear. Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Verse 10. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out. Now here we have before you your enemies. I'm going to go ahead and read the enemies to you, but on the screen it just simply says your enemies. That he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. All right? How many of you have some ites in your life? You've got some enemies. And God says, I'm going to drive them out before you. Verse 11. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan, into the flood. Are you with me? Verse 12. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. Now, these 12 men, they're going to be chosen. They're going to end up going out into the middle of the river and picking up a rock and taking it to the other side to make a monument to what God's going to do. That's what their job is, to make a monument so that they can still remember the past, even though they're not going to live in the past. All right? So these 12 men, this is what they're going to do. They're going to follow after the ark, and then something else is going to happen. Verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Will you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word. We are your people. And Lord, you have been inspiring us to step into our destiny. You have been challenging us, Lord, that you have a plan that is bigger than we can even imagine for each of our lives. And you are calling us to a whole new level of faith so that we might walk with you in closer unity. And therefore, we might be able to hear you, Lord, even when you whisper to our hearts, so that, God, we can be everything you want us to be and therefore show the world how great of a God that you are. So, Lord, as you have been working in us over this past week, we pray that you continue to do the work this morning, that you continue to take us deeper. Continue, Lord God, to allow us to understand even the requirements of stepping into our destiny. Help us, Lord God, to see that you have a plan for us, but there are things that we need to be aware of if we're going to follow after you into our destiny. So, Lord God, open our ears, open our minds, open our hearts. Let your creative word from heaven flow into our hearts and change us for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. So we've been talking about stepping into your destiny. And as we've been talking about stepping into your destiny, we've gone through and we've explained that every place that your soul is going to step on, it is going to be your inheritance. That's the walk of faith. And that the more you walk in faith, the more your inheritance begins to expand. Now, technically, Joshua was told that there were limits. There were certain guidelines that he had to stay between. Because if he went over those limits, he was going to go into an area that God never intended for them to go. He talked about how that they had family that was descended from Lot, that they were not supposed to go into their direction. He told them how that they were not supposed to go to Syria. He told them how that they were not supposed to go beyond certain rivers and certain landmarks. But everywhere in between, every single place that they would put their feet would be their inheritance. Every place that the sole of their foot would touch, it would be for them. And so we're stepping into our destiny, but as we step into our destiny, I want you to see what was lined out for us in these scriptures. I want you to be able to understand the purpose and the reasoning behind these simple things, behind these simple verses of scripture that some would simply say it is a historical writing, it's a historical account, it has no relevance today. I say, no, it has relevance today. I believe the entire book from cover to cover has relevance today. And so the Bible is truth today, it was true yesterday, it'll be true tomorrow. And so as we look at this particular passage and we begin to really examine it, there are some things that I really want to draw your attention to that really stand out when you examine it. The first thing is there in verse 9 where Joshua said, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God." If you are going to step into your destiny, it requires that you will hear, or maybe I should have said listen, to the word of the Lord. You have to be able to listen to the word of the Lord. Back in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, as everything was beginning to unfold for Joshua and how that he was to lead the children of Israel, God said to Joshua, "Be strong and very courageous." He'll say this several different times. But when he says it here, he says in verse 7, "Be strong and courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law." All of the Word of God at that point had been penned by the hand of Moses. There was no other recording of the Word of God. All that they had is what we refer to as the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And so they had the five books of the Bible, and God said, "You need to be strong and courageous to follow those books." Well, now here we are with 66 books of the Bible, and God still says, "You need to be strong and courageous to follow what thus saith the word of the Lord." See, a lot of people think that the Bible is, you know, it's optional. A lot of people think that living according to the Word of God, it's something that's nice and it's quaint and you do it on Sundays, but it doesn't need to be done the rest of the week. And the truth of the matter is, if God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, maybe you need to start being it too. You need to begin to walk this out and understand that God's Word is truth and it's relevant and you need to live according to it. And so God says to Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous that you may observe the law, that you may observe the Word which my servant Moses was given and commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. Is there anybody here who'd like to prosper this morning? No, I'm not Creflo Dollar this morning. But you know what? If I were Creflo Dollar, I don't know what I'd be able to do with all the money I'd have. Creflo Dollar once said, there are those who get on to me about being a prosperity preacher, but with a last name like Dollar, what kind of a preacher do you think I'm supposed to be? Now, I'm not going to get up here and preach Creflo Dollar's sermons. I'm not going to get up here and tell you that God wants everybody here to be a millionaire. Although, if you become a millionaire, be sure and pay your tithes. But what I do want you to understand is that as you obey the Word of God, as you live out the Word of God, as you listen to what God is saying and do it, then God is going to prosper your life, whether He prospers your bank account or not. We're getting there. Now, I believe that God wants to prosper some people with their finances. Don't get me wrong. I look forward to God prospering me in my finances, not so that I can be rich, but just so that I can be a greater blessing to others. I look for God to do those things. But what God told Joshua was, if you'll be strong and courageous to be able to keep the law, to be able to listen to the Word, accept the Word, and live according to the Word, and don't turn to the right or to the left, you will prosper wherever you go. Everything you put your hand to, it's going to prosper. Everywhere that you go, you're going to be prospering. In other words, God's blessings are going to continue to flow. Verse 8 then of Joshua 1, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you're supposed to keep on speaking the Word. You shall meditate in it day and night. So it's not just when you're going through the bad stuff, but it's also when you're going through the good stuff. It's not just for when it's dark and you don't know what in the world you're going to do, but it's also for it when it's as bright as the noonday. You keep the Word of God alive in your heart, flowing through your life, speaking it off of your tongue, and it begins to change your circumstances around you. Observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know what? The benchmark of success is not the kind of car that you drive. The benchmark of success is not how much money you have in the bank. The benchmark of success as a pastor is not how big your church is. The benchmark of success in every single one of our lives is, are we obeying the Word that God is speaking into our hearts? God said, I do not desire the fat of rams. I do not desire the fat of bulls. All that I desire is obedience. Obedience. And so we receive the Word. We listen to the Word. Now this begins to change us. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, he said, faith comes by... What was that? I can't hear you. What was that? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Word of the Lord. God wants us to be able to hear His Word because it increases our faith. And the children of Israel and Joshua understood this. That's why they continually would rehearse the verses of Scripture over and over again. Because they didn't want to ever forget how great God was. I've seen some people that they're all fired up for Jesus and they're so excited for the Lord, and God begins to do great things in their life and they're constantly talking about the good things of the Lord, but the first moment that they have a problem and they have an obstacle, they turn the opposite way and start talking about the problems and their obstacles instead of talking about the Word of the Lord, and the next thing you know, their faith is gone. There's a lot of great Christians out there that spend more time complaining than they spend praising God. And so we understand that faith comes by hearing. If it's going to come by hearing, that means somebody has to be speaking it. And most of the time, you're the person who needs to be speaking it. So the first requirement of stepping into your destiny is you have to hear the word of the Lord. You have to be listening to what God is saying and doing it. Hear the word of the Lord. The second thing that you need to understand, stepping into your destiny requires knowing that the living God is with you. The living God is with you. Verse 10, Joshua says to the children of Israel, he says, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you." It's interesting because the Bible tells us that God is going to come down in the flesh, because it says that his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's amazing to me because John, when he wrote his gospel, he said the word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. When he said that, what it literally means is he tabernacled among us. He put on the skin of a man so that everybody could see God and look him in the eye and listen to his voice, and there he was. He was among us. But you know what? He couldn't stay among us in physical form. Not at that point in time. And so Jesus, before he leaves in John chapter 14, he says, "I'm going to send you a comforter that I might be with you always. I'm going to send you a comforter. He'll be with you. He'll teach you everything I've ever taught you." And he's talking about his spirit in us. And so he says, I want you to know that I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to empower your life. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to train you. My spirit is going to be with you. The Bible says if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, he will quicken our mortal bodies. I don't know about you, but this morning I've had more than one opportunity where I've had to say, "God, I need you to quicken my mortal body. I need you to strengthen it, revive it, give me newness of life." There's something about the Spirit of the Lord being in us. If you want to step into your destiny, you have to know that the living God is with you. Now, what God is saying through Joshua is, "I'm going to show up so I can show off." Anybody want God to show off in their life? He says, "I'm going to show up so that I can show off, and everybody's going to know that I'm with you, that I'm among you, that I've come down to be with you, that I've come down to be near you." You know, I believe that the devil looks at us and he's looking to see who really has God with them and who doesn't. And the reason that I say that is because, you know, again, Peter says that our enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And what I've seen firsthand is that when you're up against a lion, the lions go for whatever is the smallest and the weakest. And so, case in point, you know, we went into a particular lion's cage and we were just in there with the lions watching them eat meat and do all these weird things. And Joshua was only about 18 months old, 14 months old, and Joshua had been playing with a little lion cub, and it was incredible. You know, all these lions, and there they are, and we walked in, and it was wonderful. But when Monica's mother got separated from us, just by a small little amount, she was wearing this sweater that had this knit in it, and the lions, when they saw that she was separated from the rest of us, they all went up to her, because she's real small. And they were thinking, she might be fun to play with. And so they went and they would climb up on her and their claws would get stuck in her sweater. And we had to have somebody to come and help us, or we had to help her, I should say, get the lion's paws off of her sweater. As if that's not enough, they took a look at Joshua. 14 months old. And there he is. And they weren't looking at him as, "Well, he might be somebody fun to play with." They were looking at him as, dinner time. And they had to take us out of the cage. Well, then we walked up to the 1-year-old cage where the 1-year-old lions were. and they saw Joshua, and they would walk around wherever he was. We have on video where one of the lions is looking, and Joshua is walking up to the cage to look in, and they're all going nuts trying to get to Joshua because he's the smallest, he's the weakest, he's the frailest. And we see as all of a sudden this paw of a lion shoots out of the cage right about to where Joshua is standing. And then, of course, Joshua's granddad picking him up out of the way as you see this paw. And it's just this incredible thing. It looks on video like this lion actually hit where Joshua was standing. When it says that the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, it means he's going after those people that have separated from the bunch. He's going after those people that don't have God alive and working in their lives. Oh, I know that he's alive and I know that he's working, but they're not acknowledging it. They're not listening to what God has to say. They're not paying attention and being obedient. Instead, they don't even know that God is there. And the devil looks for those opportunities because you don't have somebody who can pick you up out of the way. And so he looks for those opportunities to find the people that he can devour. But God is with us. And God is greater. Amen? Let me see who's asleep this morning. Just Monica. Zyra, all right, we got two people sleeping. Here we are, and God is greater, and God is with us, and God wants to be able to help us to make it through, and he's going to be there to do something that is absolutely incredible, something that most of these folks have never really experienced. Yes, there may be those who remembered crossing over the Red Sea, but they've never experienced something like this, a flooded river that somehow God's going to do something incredible in so that they will always know that God is with them. I'm here to tell you this morning that the God who said, I will be with you always, even to the end, is the same God who is there with you in the middle of your flood, in the middle of your problem, in the middle of your adversity. And he's saying, just stand back and watch and see what I can do when you listen to me and know that I'm with you. He wants us to recognize that he is there. The third point I want to point out to you, the third requirement that we have. Stepping into your destiny requires following the presence of the Lord. Now, Brother Darrell, you just said that the Lord's with us. Now you're saying we have to follow his presence. Yes, you do, because God is constantly on the move. Yes, I know there are those times that he just wants us to rest, that he just wants us to sit still, that he just wants us to soak in his presence. But you know what? God is always on the move. He is always doing something new, and he wants to take us from faith to faith. He wants to take us, I believe, even from victory to victory, and he wants us to go with him. Now, we got to understand that when Joshua is talking to the children of Israel and he's told them to set out 12 people that are going to go and all these things. He's saying the Ark of the Covenant's going to go before you. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to cross over before you. It's going to go out into the water first. Now, you got to understand the Ark of the Covenant was not just a gold box. The Ark of the Covenant was not just some kind of supernatural archaeological find for Indiana Jones to discover. Hello? The Ark of the Covenant, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, was something called the Mercy Seat. And the Mercy Seat had angels that were, or had these gold angels that were there with their wings coming out. And the understanding was that that Mercy Seat was God's throne on earth. And the presence of God would manifest between the two angels. And so when they would go forward in the wilderness, there would be this wonderful pillar of fire by night and this pillar of smoke by day. And that was God's presence that would rest in between the cherubim. And they were supposed to move every time the presence of God would move. And God's saying, this is the last time I'm moving this way. So when you see the Ark of the Covenant going out, you need to know that my presence is moving and it's going before you. Well, if it's going before you, what's that mean? It means you have to go after. There are a lot of people that are afraid of the presence of the Lord moving anymore. A lot of people that want to go to a church where they can just sit there and have their ears tickled and walk out the door the same way that they came in. But the presence of the Lord is moving. The presence of the Lord is moving, and God wants to do something in us, and He'll only do it if we move with Him. You know, you guys are sounding anything but Pentecostal this morning. I guess I got all the Pentecost out of you last week, and so now, you know, I don't know where we are. I think we're somewhere around First Church of the Frigidaire so far. Don't pay any attention to the youth going out. They're going to set up for their bake sale. Free plug. Don't forget to pick up your goodies when you leave. So here we are. And we're following the presence of the Lord. And when the presence of the Lord shows up, something happens. You know, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Why is it in America that our liberties are beginning to be stripped away? Can I say it's because we stopped inviting the presence of the Lord in? I believe that West Virginia is a very blessed state. I know all the statistics. I know that where we stand on the ladder when it comes to economics, when it comes to school, when it comes to drug addiction, when it comes to all the negatives that are out there, I know where we stand. But I believe West Virginia is a blessed state. And the reason I believe West Virginia is a blessed state is because we still have people in this state who cry out to God and invite His presence. Last week, one of our Church of God pastors went to open up the Senate proceedings this past week in Charleston for the state, went to open it up with prayer and devotions and to invite the presence of God into our state. I believe that God is not done with West Virginia, and it may be that God lets everybody else wipe us off the radar so that they won't even notice, but then when it happens, they have to say, wow, look what God has done. I believe that's what God's going to do in this state, but I believe that it happens because there are people that desperately want the presence of God, that desperately want to follow the presence of God. And so Joshua says, here's what's going to happen. We're going to do all these things. You've been preparing yourself for 3 days, and here's what's going to happen. You know, you got to listen to God. You got to know that you hear what He's saying. You need to understand that God's about to show up in a way that He will prove that He is with you and that He's never going to leave you or forsake you, but He's going to be with you always. And then he says, now, you got to understand, though, if this is going to happen in your life, you've got to follow the presence of the Lord. You got to follow His presence, His manifest presence. Last Sunday night, speaking out at Christ's temple, there was a level of His manifest presence that showed up. After service, one gentleman came to me, and he, you know, it's interesting because I had not known what direction I was going to go as far as an example of how to walk out your faith and how to continue to go forward in your authority. And I felt convicted as I was typing everything up that I needed to put in the story of diabetes in my family, and so I had shared that. So I had one gentleman who comes up to me afterwards. He says, Pastor, you don't know this. He said, but I'm an extreme diabetic. He says, I am on a pump right now. He said, my body can't produce enough insulin. I'm on a pump. But while we've been fasting and while we've been praying and seeking God, he said, I've been getting up and my blood sugar has been normal. And it's gotten to the point where the pump is producing too much insulin. And now the doctor is going to have to change the amount of insulin that's coming out of my pump because my body is healing itself. He said, but you challenged me this morning that if I'm going to continue in this healing, or this evening, if I'm going to continue in this healing, I am going to have to live it out. I'm going to have to walk it out. I'm going to have to change my lifestyle. So that was great. That was wonderful. Somebody else comes to the church Tuesday, walks in the building and says, I've just got to, comes here and says, I've got to testify. He's not a part of this church. He says, I've got to testify. He said, you shared those things on Sunday night about diabetes and you didn't know it, but I'm a diabetic. He said, I got up the 3 days before going to that service. Every morning I got up and my blood sugar was over 400. He said, I have to take shots every day. My doctor told me that I will be insulin dependent for the rest of my life. He said, but when you said those things, you challenged me, and I decided I'm not going to take it anymore. God has healed me in the past. I'm going to live in that healing, and I'm going to change the way that I eat. And so Monday morning, now get this, Monday morning, he got up and decided I'm going to change the way that I eat. Monday, he changes the way that he eats. Tuesday, he's still eating a different way. He goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, last week, I took your blood results, and I checked your blood results, and your sugar levels are coming down. What have you done? He said, I didn't do anything. He says, as a matter of fact, I was eating the same stuff and my blood sugar was high up until Sunday night when a preacher got up and started sharing about God healing and things happening. And I decided I'm gonna make a change and I'm going to walk in the healing that God has given me. And he said, and that was Sunday night. He says, but that doesn't make sense, the doctor says, because your blood test was taken before that. You're telling me that every morning after that, that your blood sugar was high and you hadn't done anything to change until Sunday night that you made a decision. And so then the doctor looked at him and said, well, the only thing I know is this. He said, God must have gone back in time and changed your test results. He took his test, another test result, looked at him and said, here's the deal. Remember, he's supposed to be insulin dependent for life. He said, here's the deal. He said, in 6 months, you will be off insulin altogether. If you keep on going the way that you're going. If you keep on living it right. If you keep on eating right. You'll be insulin free. Insulin free. What are you trying to say, Brother Dylan? What I'm trying to say is this. God wants to show up so he can show off. He wants you to be able to follow his presence. And as you follow his presence, things are going to begin to happen. Things are going to begin to transform all around you. I want you to look at this last point very quickly. This last point. Stepping into your destiny not only requires following the presence of the Lord, but it means you have to step into the flood. Stepping into your destiny means you have to step into the flood. Did you hear what it was that Joshua said? He said, when the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. Until you're willing to step into the middle of the problem with your faith, it's still going to be a flood. But the moment that the soles of the priest touch the water, everything separates. Last week we said, everywhere you put the sole of your feet, that's your inheritance. Now I'm saying, every problem that you put the sole of your feet on, God's going to make something happen in. You have to be willing to step into your flood. The priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. They're going with the presence of God. And the moment that the soles of their feet touch the water, all of a sudden the waters back up and they are backed up in a heap, it says. They're backed up in a pile. God just piles the waters back. Now, that doesn't make any sense, Brother Darrell. I've never seen anybody pile water back. You know what? I've seen winds that blew so strong that it would create almost a wave of water, but I've never seen it just go and be piled up. He says, but I'm going to pile the waters up. I'm going to separate them so you can go across on the dry ground. And then what you're going to do as a priest is you're going to go right out into the middle of the problem and you're just going to stand there with the presence of God until all your family makes it to the other side. Somebody didn't get that. You're going to take authority over your problem. And the soles of your feet, because you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Yes, you're a peculiar people, and some of us more peculiar than others. But you are a priesthood. You've been chosen by God to display His greatness, that they might see the glory of God in you and through you. And so you walk out not carrying a gold box, but full of the presence of God, and you step into the middle of your flood. And yes, you know that those waters are over your head, but you trust that the same Jesus who walked on the waters is either going to walk with you on the waters, or else He's going to push them back for you. And whatever it is that you're up against, and whatever it is that threatens to swallow you, He's going to take care of it if you step out in your authority and in your faith, and you keep going even in the middle of it. You keep keep the presence of God. And if you have to stick around in the flood until the rest of your family makes it to the other side, then so be it, because you're going to follow the instruction that God gives you no matter what happens, no matter what comes, because you know that God is greater and you know that He is for you. And you know that if He's for you, there is nothing that can be against you. And so you step into the waters and you trust and you believe. The priests stay in the waters. Well, where the waters had been, it's no longer water now. Now it's dry ground. They stay in the flood. Well, it's no longer a flood now. Now it's a land bridge. Hello? And they stand there until everybody crosses over. And then those 12 that had been selected, those 12 who had been set apart, they go and they take a rock so they can always remember what God has done. And they pile up the rocks on the other side and they make a memorial so that they never forget, so that even in future generations, they can bring their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren back to that spot and say, look what God has done, and remember, God did it, so we never forget what God can do, where we are, and where we're going. 5 years after this particular incident, 5 years later, they're finally going to be able to have all the nations that they were promised. Oh, they're still going to have problems and they're still going to have difficulties, and the enemies that they didn't wipe out are still going to be coming to try and wipe them out. But they'll keep on coming back to the Jordan and saying, look, God did it then. I can't dwell in the past. I've got to move forward. But I know that if He did it there, He did it to remind me that He's with me, and I know that He's with me. So I'm going to listen to what He has to say, acknowledge that He's with me. I'm going to keep on going after the presence of God. And lo and behold, whatever flood I come across, I'm going to prove that God is greater as I step into it. And God gets the glory. And God gets the glory. As we said last week, the promises of God are yesterday's promises from God are dependent upon your obedience today. Isaiah 59:19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and the glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Isaiah 43, going back even farther, verse 1, Isaiah said, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Somebody needs to say, I belong to God. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, notice he said when you pass through, he didn't say when you drown. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. He said you're going to pass through the waters, you're going to go through the rivers, you're going to walk through the fire, but you're not going to be harmed. Why? Verse 3 of Isaiah 43, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I am your Savior. And then as he said there at the beginning, you are mine. So whatever it is that you're up against, whatever your trial, whatever your flood, God's saying, I'm going to show you that I'm greater if you listen to me, if you acknowledge that I'm with you, if you follow my presence, and if you'll just step out by faith into the middle of the flood. And then everything's going to change. You're going to step foot into the promises. Are you going to have to fight for the promises? Yes. And we're going to talk about that next week. We're going to talk about fighting for your destiny. Is it going to be hard? Yes. But you know what? You've had 40 years in the wilderness that were hard, and God took care of you then. Now He's just getting ready to take care of you in a whole new way. The flood's not going to overcome you, because God is greater. Will you stand this morning? Heavenly Father, God, we acknowledge our need for you. Lord God, it's not about how great that we are, because none of us are great. It's not about how good that we are, because even as Jesus said, there are none good, no, not one. God, we acknowledge our need for you because, Lord, we see the floods in our life and we know that, Lord, they separate us from the promises. We know, Lord God, that our destiny is on the other side and we know that it's hard to be able to go through, but we've got an entire generation behind us, God. An entire generation that has got to cross over with us. And so we're coming to this place where God, we recognize and realize that God, we need you. Lord Jesus, just as you told Joshua that he could be bold and courageous, so Lord God, I believe that you're saying that to our hearts and to our lives. We can be bold and we can be courageous. Father, you had even gone on to say in chapter 1, you had told Joshua to be bold and courageous because you were with him. And Father, I pray that you would remind us that we can be bold and courageous because you're with us. God, we know that we have a very real enemy. But we take authority over him in Jesus' name. We diminish him and demean him by the authority of Christ Jesus in us. We declare that the blood of Christ is against him and against all of his tools, against addiction, against desires that are not godly, against mindsets and thoughts that are not from you. Lord God, we take authority over those things. We know, Lord, that they separate us from the promises. But we also declare that you're greater. And so no matter how powerful our enemy may appear, we know, Lord God, that you can make their hearts to melt and they will be afraid of you in us. So, Lord, we come before you and say, God, show up in our lives so you can show off in our lives. Show up in our lives so you can show off in our lives. God, we belong to you. We are yours. You know us by name. And you promise that the flood will not overwhelm us, but we're going to go through it. We're going to go through it. So take us through, Lord God. Take us through to the other side. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.